This program is brought to you by Pussy Magnets.
Welcome, welcome, my lovely lumps. Or should I say lovely labs? I'm so thrilled to have you here in the Labia Lounge. We're going to yarn about all things sexuality, womanhood, relationships, intimacy, holistic health, and everything in between. Your legs. Ooh. Can't help myself. Anyway, we're going to have vag loads of real chats with real people about real shit. So buckle up. You're about to receive the sex ed that you never had and have a bloody good laugh while you're at it. Before we dive in, I'd like to respectfully acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land on which I'm recording this, the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. It's an absolute privilege to be living and creating dope podcast content in Naam, and I pay respect to their elders past, present, and emerging. Now, if you're ready, let's flap and do this. Oh my God, is there such thing as too many vagina jokes in the one intro? Whatever, it's my podcast. I'm leaving it in.
Don't panic, you're not broken. Your sex education was a piece of shit. Get your flaps out and pull up a couch. It's the Labia Lounge.
Hey, sugar sugars. I'm back. I don't know if you noticed, but there was a few weeks there where there were just mysteriously no new episodes. That was partly because life was happening and I was moving house and spent a week at Esoteric Festival, where I was recording some fucking awesome content for you, and partly because I thought, you know what, this is going to be my 100th episode. I want to do something extra special, and I'm going to take a few extra weeks to do that rather than trying to hustle and rush one out, because the 100th episode really crept up on me, and then I was like, oh, damn, I don't actually have anything planned for this. So I just thought, I'll take a few weeks off, go to the festival, get some live content, and come up with some fresh shit for you, some hot, fresh shit. And honestly, like, it's a bit of a slow start this epi, but stick it out because, oh my God, I had some insane conversations and some pants-wetting moments of laughter, and yeah. It's great fun. So this is the first installment. I've got like 4 hours worth of interviews with punters at Esoteric. And yeah, there's some really cool stuff in there, some really cool questions and convos and topics that we cover. So yeah, this is your first serving and I hope you enjoy it. All right, let's test this out. I'm sitting in the back of the van. We've arrived at Esoteric Festival a couple of days ago. It's been apocalyptic. The environment feels hostile. The double G's, that's colloquial for like nuclear size fuck off prickles with like 4 big spikes on each side that literally puncture bike tires, thongs, tents, tarps, all of it. They are proliferating in the exact spot that we were allocated. It was fucked. Kind of ruined our night and our setup a bit. And then we were like, all right, this is unlivable. Let's move. So we packed up, we pulled out all the double G's from the bottoms of our shoes and all through our shit and our cars, and we relocated and then we set up again. And then it's been so windy that the gazebo took a bit of a hike and bent one of the legs, nearly snapped. It's just been a bit of a shit show, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Get in here.
To say the least.
To say the least. Come and pull up a beanbag. So currently we're not really sure if we're going to be able to actually do the Labia Lounge and go ahead with the kind of intended setup. We've got this gorgeous orange gazebo, which is now looking pretty worse for wear. We've got the shag rugs. We've got all, you know, the velvet pussy couch. I even got fake plants this time. Like, I really went all out. I wanted to make it really special, and I just don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. It's like 40 degree heat. We're sunburnt, we're tired, our fingers are like pin cushions because we've been pulling out prickles from everything for the last 3 days.
Like, how are you feeling?
Oh, I'm exhausted. I mean, like, we haven't even started and I'm like, all right, I'm going to call upon the festival vibes when it's time and, like, make it happen. But I'm just hoping that the wind will hold out for us and that we can actually use what was intended. But if not, I'm also open to our possible alternatives. Like, you know, I think either way we're going to make it happen. It's just going to maybe be different to how we've imagined.
Indeed. I think I need to get my beanbag closer to you because I don't want to have to, like, lean my arm over to, get on in here. So it's probably going to look a little different to what we were thinking. I had high hopes. This is the biggest festival that we've done. Oh, my God. I don't know about beanbags. Sometimes I love them. Sometimes I hate them.
I like them. I like them. It takes a while to, like, find your spot.
You got to get the right groove. Mm. Yeah, so we haven't really even bothered setting up the full Labia Lounge thing inside the gazebo because we've been just trying to keep the gazebo in one place, to be honest. It's at a pretty scary lean right now. I don't really trust its structural integrity. Mm. Probably should have thought about that, but, you know, this is the first time I've done this, so at, like, a proper sort of festival like this, we're going to be here for, like, a fucking week, so that's the whole thing. I think, probably had several micro meltdowns. Mm. Haven't cried yet, though.
No tears yet.
I think it's because I just finished bleeding, and so I'm in my, like, inner spring, and I'm feeling, like, a little bit more robust.
That'll be me soon.
Started bleeding on day, like, the first day we drove to the festival. And actually, Hannah, my first ever Labia Lounge assistant when we did it for the first time at Comfort Creek, started bleeding on the first day as well. Mm. So it's a tradition.
It's a good omen, maybe.
But we're feeling pretty fucked up and pretty haggard. So I don't know. I guess we'll see how we go. What I'm doing right now, though, is just trying to get some recordings from people around the campsite in case I don't get to open up the real Labia Lounge. And we've just done a little makeshift one in the back of my van in my beanbag. So how do you feel about pulling a card from the deck?
Done. All right. Have you ever faked an orgasm and why?
Oh, yeah. I've definitely faked an orgasm. More than once.
I've not so much in my personal life. I would say there's definitely potential that I have faked them in more in the work sense, like, doing sex work. I find that it helps to reach completion. if they feel that I am also orgasming with them.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's quite cringy and I might have a bit of a, I might be having a bit of a hard time trying to keep its authenticity because it's not authentic. So not proud of it, but definitely have.
Well, I mean, it's also kind of part of the job. Like, if you want to do a good job and make them feel good and, then
I mean, it's just not realistic to... I mean, there was a time when I started where I could definitely orgasm pretty much with everybody. And that's getting harder as time goes on. But I find, like, I definitely have found it to be a good tool. And I think if they're getting the experience that they're coming for, regardless of if I'm having a real orgasm or not, they're still getting the satisfaction as if I did.
No harm, no foul.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So, like, to me, it's like they're still getting the service that we have agreed upon. And, and I guess I'm not getting so physically exhausted out of it as well because, after a full day of work, it's a lot of orgasms for one person to endure.
Most people could not wrap their head around having too many orgasms that you're so knackered. You're like, I can't have one more orgasm. Because I think a lot of, I don't know how rare it is, but I hadn't heard, like, you can come quite easily when you want to. So with most clients, you can actually have a real orgasm, right?
Mostly. Like, sometimes I struggle. Like, if a guy has shaved, I find that the prickliness of his pubis is just like scratching my clitoris like sandpaper.
Oh my god.
Yeah, and I find that really hard to reach orgasm with that because I can't push past and enjoy like the friction.
Ow. That sounds horrific.
Yeah, it's horrible. So I actually really prefer like hair. Same.
I don't like it when there's been manscaping done. Yeah. Stop that. Leave it alone.
I so often have like clients be like, I'm clean, I'm shaved, and I'm like,
oh no.
Yeah, but like why? What's wrong with your hair? Just leave it, man. Like I'm probably fucking hairy, so
Yeah, the prickliness is actually such an issue. Like I can't even just pash rash like from a guy's face when it's really stubbly.
Totally. I mean at the end of a shift when I used to work long hours, stubble rash was just such a thing. Like I'd be so raw and sore on my face. I'd have to start kissing lighter through the end of the night. God. Like and they'd be like, and I'm like, oh yeah, just your stubble. But like, you know, it's probably also the stubble from the guys before, but like in this moment your stubble is the one that's affecting me most. So
then what do you reckon about, because like I think that that's part of the job description, but then in your personal life, what do you think about faking orgasms?
So in personal life, I'm just trying to have a think to just make sure that that is something that I have done or haven't done. I should be able to just, you know, say straight out no, but I'm sure there may have been a time.
Maybe when you were younger.
Yeah. Look, honestly, like I don't even remember orgasming with my first partner. We were together for like 5 years and I just, I don't remember orgasming with him.
Yeah.
I actually remember, I think the first time I had a recognizable orgasm, like my second partner was like the one who pointed it out. And I was like,
hey, did you know?
Right. So it's like, it's so sad because that means that, you know, I went into that just kind of wanting to impress my partner. It was just, he was 5 years older than me and it was just like, all right, we're going to have sex. And this is like, he's getting enjoyment out of that and he gets his genital sneeze at the end of that. And I, you know, I guess I'm just there looking sexy and being appealing and like not getting any pleasure out of that until I kind of realized like, oh, that's right. That's what that is. Okay. So yeah, with them, I don't think I've faked an orgasm. There is a potential that I may have faked an orgasm at one point, out of like maybe guilt, like, or maybe to wrap sex up.
Yeah.
I
hear
that a lot. Yeah. I guess, but like, I can't pinpoint a specific time where I've done that in my personal life, but I feel like there's a possibility I may have. Like,
I think most people have. I'm weird because I haven't, but I think I'm in the minority for sure. Like everyone I speak to is like, I mean, a lot of people still do. So what do you reckon about the second part of that question? How would you feel if you found out someone had faked it with you?
Well, I think in the context of like being a woman, it's a little easier for me to tell if you have or you haven't. but like, I guess it would depend on their reasoning. I mean, I think I'm pretty secure in myself, so I probably wouldn't feel like, you know, oh, it's something to do with me.
Yeah.
I guess like my questioning would be more around like why you felt the need to have to fake, like to feel like you needed to fake an orgasm. Like, I definitely don't need someone to feel like they need to finish with me if you know, or if they felt like they wanted to discontinue, then like we would just do that and that would totally be okay, and like I'm just open to you know whatever flowing that way. So I guess I would feel maybe sad for them, or I would feel inquisitive because I'd want to know like why, you know, like why did you need to do that, like
totally.
Because you just don't need to, like if it's not happening, it's not happening. And I've, you know, multiple times had guys not be able to, you know, reach orgasm for specific
reasons. Yeah, I mean,
reasons.
It's I also really like disrupting that whole kind of sexual script that tells us that it's only complete when an ejaculation has happened.
Totally.
Or like when we've come, then they can relax and be like, oh, okay, cool, like she's had her orgasm and I've done my job and I've provided this thing. Like I think it's not, it's there's a lot of like pretty unhelpful narratives around this sort of thing, and it's very different from for men and for women in terms of like the different ways that we feel pressure on our orgasm.
Totally. Yeah. This coming away from this goal oriented sex, like when we have, you know, we have both reached climax, it's finished, and that is kind of like what we're kind of aiming to get to, and then missing out on that, taking time, and like, you know, that there doesn't have to be a race that's being ran, and it's more of just an experience that you're having, and it can be as slow and as drawn out as you want, and it doesn't even have to be penetrative, you know. Mm-hmm. Like I'm still on the journey of exploring that, but I definitely am interested in leaning more towards that, because I think, you know, because of that, you know, culture around it, that's pretty much all we know as of sex, mostly.
Yeah.
Unless you're looking into other, like, more alternative practices around it.
Straight up. All right, pick a different card if you feel like it.
Have you ever filmed or recorded yourself alone or with partners? And if so, how was? Well, when I was a teenager, I had a threesome with these two guys, friends of mine. I mean, we were just hanging out, and then like one of them had just like suggested that we should have a threesome, and I don't know, it was open to it. I'd never done that before.
I was such a tame little teenager. I would have freaked out.
I was so keen. Nice. And like, I have this memory of like, you know, I'm like 16, maybe 17, probably 16. Yeah. And like you know, it was a funny experience. It's like one of them was like, one of the guys I was actually kind of sleeping with, and then the other one was like his best friend, and like, you know, we're friends to this day, obviously. Not going to mention any names or anything, but so like one of them was like having a great time, not having any troubles getting hard, whereas the other was like really struggling to get hard around his friend. So he'd like go outside and like jack off for like a little bit and then come back in, and then like
pressure.
And his friend was like, you just like this, you just hold the base, and then you like trying to like, you know, talk about how to get a semi in, and
and you're just lying there like, trying to be encouraging.
And then
where does the filming come into it?
So like, we were filming this whole thing.
I wonder he couldn't get a hard on.
And we had like stressful, holding the camera at different views, and like it was a phone.
Oh my god.
And like, so I remember at one point I'm in like candlestick pose, like with my hips up, and I'm like holding my hips up in the air, and then like we're doing some like penetrative move from that pose.
That's so advanced. Yeah. And then when did the, like, so they were like, let's have a threesome, but also let's film it from different angles and basically make a porno.
Well, yes. And then the porno actually got out into town.
Of course it fucking did.
Yeah. And I had people like, I've seen your video. And I'm like, oh, fuck. And this was like with my first tattoo, which was the tramp stamp that said, this too shall pass,
read
this poo shall pass, because it was like a cursive T, old English T, and it went around and it looked like a P. No, my mum pointed it out like 2 years after I got it, when she found a picture of it on the computer. And she was like, who's gonna tattoo saying this poo shall pass on the back? Like, yeah, that's me, it says two, but I'd had it covered over by then. But yeah, so the video, it happened and it got out. And
who leaked it?
That's the whole thing. Like, they got mad at me, and we weren't friends for a while because they were convinced it was me. And I'm like, I don't even have the video, and I didn't show it to anybody. And I know that they showed it to people because like one of them have a cousin who saw it. She's like, I saw your video, like the boy showed it to me. And so when other people had said they'd seen it, they got mad at me as if I was the one that leaked the video. But I'm like, there's absolutely no way that I did. So, you know, it was a funny time to do something like that as a teenager, and then have it like
in a small country town as
totally. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, you know, then that kind of blows up in your face a little bit.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So yes, I have filmed, and it was fun. It was adventurous, and I was an adventurous teenager, and very often like slut shamed because I was very explorative when I was out of my relationships. Like my first relationship, I was like almost 4 years. Like, it was really long for, you know, being a teenager.
Yeah.
So I came out and I kind of went through my, like, really yummy phase of exploration, and I'm still in that phase now, and I'm 30. Like, you know, like, it's just that I no longer allow that feeling of shame to come in, because I realize that that came from other people's, like, preconceptions and beliefs around what it means to be frivolous sexually as a woman, which for me just feels liberating. And, like, as long as I'm not harming anyone and it's in respect, like, for myself and others, like, there's really no issue. You go, girl.
You go, girl.
Yeah.
I cannot fucking believe that. Like, what the hell? I'm still stuck on, like, all right, I reckon those two boys leaked it and then ganged up and decided, let's pretend that we think we did it so that, sorry, I just dropped your name, so that she doesn't suspect us.
Yeah.
Like, surely, because, like, how the fuck?
I still, to this day, have no fucking idea.
It
and
was
like,
one of them. It has to have been. Or they sent it to someone and then...
And then that got out, like, that way. Oh, like, all the people that said they'd seen it hadn't actually seen it, just heard about it. Like, who knows? And the reality is, like, at the end of the day, like, yes, okay, it was very mortifying as a teenager in a small town.
Had someone edited it together?
No, I don't think so. Like, I just remember watching it, like... You know, it's just like, okay, this was a bit of fun. It was supposed to be between us. I know that they showed one of their brothers and, you know, like, okay, a few people saw it. And then it was like I was hearing about it, like, weeks after. And, you know, I'm like, oh, look, whatever, man. Like, at the end of the day, like, now I can look back on it like that. But it was mortifying as a teenager in a small town. And then, you know, what that kind of says about you having a threesome at that age.
Ugh, and then the reputation that ensues.
Yeah, totally. I definitely had a bit of a reputation that, I guess I...
It doesn't take much in a country town as a teenager.
Totally.
Do anything to get a fucking reputation.
Yeah. I mean, I just wear it with pride now. It's like whatever is part of, you know, shaping me into who I am and helping me with my exploration. And maybe that somehow turns in, like, ties into my, you know, sex working experience and my playfulness in the bedroom. Like, I'm pretty open-minded, and maybe I've just always been that way because it's innate to me.
Amazing.
No worries.
What sexual advice would you give your younger self? How old are you right now?
I'm 22.
22. Okay, so you're young. So, like, your sexual career hasn't even been that long, right?
No. And I've been, like... serially monogamous as well. So, like, ever since I was maybe 12 or something, it's been like 2-3 year relationships.
I'm sorry, did you have penetrative sex when you were 12?
No, but relationship wise
I mean, apparently that's the average age these days.
It does happen. I mean, I was 15, I think, when I was when I had penetrative sex. So the question was, what advice would I give to my younger self? It's funny to answer that question because there was a lot... Every time I was with a woman sexually, I was always emotionally in a long-term situation with them as well. So our understanding became very mutual. So it's hard to give advice because I was blessed with the ability to have empathetic conversations and have a good understanding. But I would say... Oh, it's such a good question. Are there any, like, questions around it that can help me crack this egg or something? Because I feel like there's an egg that I'm not...
Let me think. Maybe is there anything that you, like, wished you'd known that you had to discover the hard way or that you've figured out now?
I wish I knew about natural birth control. So, like, there's a thing called the
Fertility
Kaya
Awareness
and Fertility Awareness. It's an app that does that. And then there was, like, a Kaya, which is, like, a diaphragm that my partner puts in. And that's not obviously, like, that's not a me thing. But that was really cool because I was, like, I remember when I was young, one of my partners was like that I was the partner I was with was like, I'm gonna go get this rod inserted, and we were young, it was a whole big scary thing, and it really affected her. And I kind of felt like it wasn't my space to explore options, and she would just assume, you know, I assumed that she would just know what was best. It's her body, she could choose whatever she wants. But I wish I knew about, like, other options
that you could have suggested
and
offered.
Yeah,
that is a tough one though, because it's kind of like,
you're a dude, this isn't your territory.
Right.
It's like, you know, but yeah, it's I often, like, people just go to the doctors and get told, yep, have
well,
this, take
thing.
This pill, get this rod, like.
Right, yeah.
And they don't know the side effects. They also don't know the other options, and they're just terrified of getting pregnant, so they just do it. So what's this, what's the thing called?
It's called a Kaya.
Kaya, and it's like a diaphragm.
It's a diaphragm, and you insert it, and it comes with a spermicidal lube, so you put the spermicidal lube in it, and then you insert it, and you leave it for 24 hours, I think, or 12 hours or something.
Oh.
And then you pull it out, and you wash it, and you put it back in its case, and it...
But you only have sex while it's in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, have sex while it's in.
Yeah.
And then if the man ejaculates inside, then you leave it in for 6 to 12... It was 6 to 24 hours. You basically leave it in overnight and take it in, take it out the next day kind of thing.
Till the jizz has trickled out.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, and then, you take it out, and
wow.
It's like...
Wow.
Yeah.
That's not like... Because I can't think of it. That sounds... I would hate to do that. That sounds so annoying and like...
Yeah, interesting.
I mean, I can't even use a moon cup. It really pisses me off just having to wedge things up there. My vagina doesn't like it.
Yeah.
Also, spermicidal lube. Very bad for the old microbiome inside the vagina.
Is it?
So I would not be using that.
Whoa,
but,
but knowledge is being gained.
I make my own lube. It's called Motion Lotion, and it's natural
shit.
As fuck, so that you're not messing with, like, the bacterial balance in there and the pH
shit.
And stuff.
Oh
so if
God.
She starts getting, like, thrush or infections quite easily, then that's probably why.
Whoa.
Yeah, just
okay, that's super good to know. Yeah, I'll pass it on to her. That's great. Oh, wow. There you go. There you go.
Yeah, okay, cool. All right, well, let's crack another question.
Hey, baby babes. Sorry to interrupt. I just had to pop my head into the lounge here and mention another virtual lounge that I'd love you to get around. It's the Labia Lounge Facebook group that I've created for listeners of the potty to mingle in. There you'll find extra bits and bobs like freebies, behind the scenes, or discounts for offerings from guests who have been interviewed on the podcast. There'll also be... hopefully, inspiring, thought-provoking conversations and support from a community of labial legends like yourself. My vision for this is that it becomes a really supportive, educational and hilarious resource for you to have more access to me and a safe space to ask questions you can't ask anywhere else. So head over to links in the show notes or look up the Labia Lounge group in Facebook and I'll see you in there. And now, back to the episode.
In your relationships, have you more commonly had the lower or higher libido out of the two of you? And how has this made you feel or been navigated?
More commonly, I've had a higher libido in my relationships, but I have found that I haven't... I don't know the right word here. Enforced, acted upon... engaged with that higher sense of libido often. I've always kind of just flowed to my partner's rhythm and sat in there. And in relationships I've had when I was younger that were dysfunctional, that became a very strange environment. It was sex kind of became a tool that was used to, I don't know, not gain pleasure or explore or release. It was something that was kind of used to prove a point. I think she was trying to, I don't know, I can't assume, but she was really unhealthy. And I think there are times when, yeah, again, I've just been so fluid and empathetic in that regard. And it's just kind of throwing things out of whack. I mean, that relationship was a totally, totally different story altogether.
Mm.
But yeah, I've always found I've had the higher libido, but it's never... My favorite thing is being in the moment with somebody and being on the same page as my partner. And to me, like, that's everything. If we're on the same page and we're putting up a tent and it's flying in the wind, or we're, you know, stuck in a mud pile and the car's bogged, like, as long as we're on the same page, like, I feel okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like we can solve a problem together. And, mm-hmm. you know, I can lead out of it, or she can lead out of it, or one of us has room to have the other one be supported. As soon as we're not on the same page, I get lost. And I go, I don't know where you are right now.
Mm.
And my instinct is to follow and find and again, be empathetic.
Trying to reconnect.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Attunement, I suppose.
Yep.
With your partner.
Yeah. And that, when I was younger, I would I'd become malleable and just kind of form into the shape, into the cavity that was left.
Mm.
And I mean, I had no capacity to live the rest of my life, you know, or chase my own goals and stuff. So now I guess I like to stay kind of more in my own...
Have some boundaries.
Yeah,
healthy
exactly.
boundaries.
Yeah. And that encourages actually a more equal balance, because you're not just filling up every hole that comes up. So yeah, I found that to me it's like, as long as we're on the same page about what we want and what we're looking for, how often we have sex doesn't, it kind of comes with that natural circadian rhythm anyway.
Don't, I can't believe how mature you are. You're like a 22-year-old.
I've never had been on a podcast like this, so I'm thinking of my feet.
Sick.
I appreciate it.
One more?
Yeah, fucking no, run
around. I'm just loving this because I'm like, mate, when I was 22, yeah, and the fucking idiots I was dating when I was 22.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, that's not fair. They weren't idiots. We were all idiots.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah,
we were not, like, we were not, I don't think you can even say the word woke anymore, but, like, we were not conscious of, like, any of the shit that you're talking about right now. So this is, I'm chuffed.
I appreciate that. Thank you. I appreciate that.
When and where have you felt the most comfortable and safe having sex?
Obviously, well, I live out the back of my parents' house.
Mm-hmm.
in a bungalow, like, separated housing situation. So, and that's just been convenient. And I'm lucky to have a great relationship with my parents. So, that's an easy answer. Yeah, yeah. That's an easy answer because it's like, well, I was, you know, I've always lived in that home. So, it's very easy for me to be there. But at the same time, I would say, you know what? The places that I didn't expect to feel comfortable and safe, and then all of a sudden falling and flowing into it and then being able to live in that moment.
Like where?
Like on the beach.
Yeah.
Like on the beach, cool, under the stars, or like by the fire, or like somewhere that's not obtrusive to other people, but also is like, oh, there's a rock there, and oh, I'm like out in nature, for example, in the bush, like places where you kind of have to settle into it and then you realize that it's all okay and you're actually, these trees aren't going to hurt you, and like we've been.
Yeah, I think as long as you're not at risk of getting busted, somewhere out in nature can be like phenomenal.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, do you make much noise? Because like, if I was out the back of my parents, I'd be like stressing. You know?
We do stress. It's funny. I'm pretty quiet.
Mm-hmm.
My partner's a little bit louder, but there's enough space that you don't really hear anything. We have had like, you know, someone accidentally walk up and knock on the door, and that, you know, that all happens and stuff. But no, we've never really worried about that. That's never really been a problem, which is interesting, which is a good thing.
Rock on.
It's good. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Because it sucks, like living in, you know, maybe a share house.
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah, with folks and stuff. Like often I'll give my clients like home play practices to like, you know, go and do this particular self pleasure session or try something out. And they're like, oh, like, I just don't feel comfortable enough because I'm worried about the sound. Like, my parents might hear me or my housemates or... And then I'm just like, fuck, like, it's actually such a... Yeah, such a lady boner killer when you can't make as much noise as you like and you're a little bit paranoid.
I've noticed that with my partner too. And sometimes it'll be like, you know, it'll be super sweet. Like, we're in her room, in her house, and everything's the way that it should be, like, in her house. And the blinds open about this much, you know, that's two millimeters for the people listening. And then it's just like, the people are watching. And I know what that means. And I'm like, imaginary people are watching us. Like, we'll close the blind and, you know, put a little sock in front of the door. And just like, just even like rechecking that the door is locked can change like the energy straight away.
Yeah.
And I'm really curious as to what that is. And it's a person to person thing. But you know, sometimes like, she'll feel that. Something will just switch and she's no longer in a place where she's
able to relax.
Exactly.
Yeah. Let me tell you, this is my jam.
Tell me.
That is like such a common thing, especially for people with female bodies and like female arousal processes, for us to feel ultimately aroused, like sexually, like feel desire, feel turn on, feel pleasure, and have like properly like deep orgasms and orgasmic experiences, we need to be in our parasympathetic nervous system, which is that like rest and digest, super relaxed, super surrendered, for us to feel relaxed and not have cortisol and adrenaline coursing through our veins, constricting our blood vessels, constricting circulation to our pelvic floor and our erectile tissue. We need to be relaxed because that dilates the blood vessels, that allows our erectile tissue to become engorged and fill with blood, and then that makes the nerve endings all feel yummy and pleasurable and allows like vaginal orgasms to happen. And it's like very, very contextually dependent. So like the context can change. It's like if you are like in a really great mood with your partner and you're like playing around, you tickle and they're kind of like into that like tickliness. But if they're like pissed off at you and you try to tickle them, that will not feel good. Or it's like if you If you smell like a delicious, like melting cheese smell in a restaurant, you're like, fuck, that smells yum. But if you smell the smell of like cheese in like, you know, the bedroom or someone's socks or something, and it's like the context is different. And so the same smell will just translate to your brain very differently. So with like contextual factors for women in particular, like for everyone, but definitely for women in particular, yeah, it makes a big difference whether we are able to feel totally safe, totally relaxed, totally able to like be present in that moment without any like stress factors coming in, without any of those like stress hormones coursing through our veins. And I think like everyone has like brakes and an accelerator when it comes to like arousal. So it's called the dual control model of arousal. And so if like, if you know, one of the things that presses her brakes is like worrying about being busted or someone seeing, then as soon as there's even like that thought in her head, it's like if you're in the ocean and you think of a shark, you're like, fuck, it's all over.
Yeah,
I gotta get out.
So true.
You know, and it just puts on the brakes. So her arousal will just dry up. But then like, you know, she might have other things that press her accelerator, which will really like turn her on. And you know, I mean, it's a bit more complicated than that, but that's probably what you're noticing when like the mood changes completely. All of a sudden, like the energy was flowing and then it's just stopped. Like, because, you know, she maybe just got a bit nervous that someone was watching or I don't know, just was pulled out of the present moment.
Right. Yeah.
Thrown up into her head rather than the body with like, you know, full like, yeah. Anyway, that's kind of what's going on in
that's
that.
That's dope. I love that. I appreciate your insight.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
No worries.
That's dope.
Do you like using sex toys? Why not?
I don't mind it. I think it's... I like going to the sex store and looking for sex toys. I think that's fine. But I don't... I feel something about grabbing this man-made item that is... I don't understand very well. And then using that between me and my partner, it's like I just kind of feel disassociated a little bit, and I have used them and I like we've like enjoyed using them and stuff, but I feel like is there a button? Okay, it's the button. Suddenly I'm using a machine and I'm like, this is not,
it's not as intuitive.
Yeah,
you're not getting the biofeedback of your fingertip touching her skin. It's like exactly, there's this thing in between you and it's a bit of a barrier to connection maybe.
Yes. And I have to think logically about this thing. I start turning it into like it feels more like I'm delivering a service and less like I'm
participating like, as much as
yes.
like you're doing something to them with this tool.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Sorry
to
put words into your mouth. No. I know what you mean.
For sure. Yeah. And like that like role can be fun of like doing something, you know, and being like providing a certain kind of feeling from afar, but it's when it's like I don't feel like that's the objective of some of these tools, and so I'm like, she's super engaged with whatever's going on and I'm kind of just existing, hoping I'm doing a good job, which is like the worst place to be for a dude. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Amazing. Great answer. Fucking awesome. Thanks. Thank you.
That's okay.
I reckon that's a wrap.
We got it.
What was your experience when you got your period for the first time? How were periods talked about in your home?
We didn't really talk about periods in our home. I feel like my mom had a period and would use a pad, and you knew that, but you didn't know what a period kind of was. And the first day I got my period, I was at my cousin's house down the road, and my tummy felt weird, and I went to the bathroom and, like, saw a little brown stuff. And then I was just, like, freaking out the whole day. Like, I couldn't eat. Because I thought it was supposed to be this big thing that was going to happen, and I was, like, waiting for this big thing to happen.
So you knew that it was your period coming?
I knew it was my period because of the brown stuff, and I think I told my cousin and she confirmed it.
Right.
But I expected, like, an explosion to happen, so I didn't eat for the day. I was just, like, on edge all day.
Puffing. Got my men up.
And then, yeah, my mom came home and she brought me a book.
Oh, okay. So some kind of resource, at least, but didn't talk to you personally about it, just gave you the book?
Not really, yeah, just gave me a book. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit of a common story, actually. All right, I've got one more for you.
Sure.
What is your biggest sexual turn off?
Mm. lack of confidence.
Right.
Yeah, lack of confidence. Yep. I think confidence can sell it more than anything.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's also pretty relatable for a lot of people.
For sure.
Even just like, yeah, I mean, especially I find people can have a bit of bravado and confidence like when you meet them and outside of the bedroom, but then in the bedroom the performance anxiety sets in. And yeah, I feel really empathetic for like I sleep with men and like just the it's so obvious when their confidence fails them because they can't keep a hard on and then they get in their heads about it and then it's this whole, and you try to be really like, you know, encouraging and gentle and like totally fine, but like you can tell that they're just like, fuck. So anyway, cool, rock on. What do you do when you are getting hot and heavy, you're kind of like going down and you kind of like a new person, maybe not even a new person, just anyone, and you just come across like a really smelly dick, but you're already down there and you're kind of like what do you do in that
what
situation?
What do I do?
And how do you feel?
I feel sorry for the person. I don't judge because I would hate if that happened to
absolutely.
Me. So I'll go down, give it a little, you know, quickie, and then you just use your hands, and you make them feel special, and then you continue upwards. From there on up, not down with the mouth. In the nicest way possible.
I know. Well, that's a beautiful answer, and I'm so grateful. What a community service you're doing.
Yeah.
I feel like, I was saying to my friend earlier, like, it's a tough one because it's also like, if someone, like, starts going down on me and then, like, 30 seconds later comes right back up, I'm like,
oh no,
what's
you feel
what's
like
going on?
Shit. And you're is it me or what? Do you just want to fuck me? You better come. Like, what's the point?
Yeah,
like what is it?
Are you just not a generous lover or is it me?
Exactly that.
Yeah, so yeah.
It's not us.
Well, I also just feel like there's so something I've been noticing with all the convos I have with people. A lot of people's parents didn't teach them how to clean under their foreskin and, like, how often to clean their dicks. Like, I've met people who maybe only clean it once a week. And I'm like, oh, babe. And, like, I don't judge because it's like, if you don't get taught that, how do you know? You go through puberty, everything just, even just, like, the kind of, I don't know if you know about, like, male kind of anatomy, but, like, the foreskin's fused to the glands of the penis up until, you know, they're kind of moving more towards puberty. And so you've got to, like, really gradually just peel it back a tiny bit each day in the shower and then a little bit more. And then one day it kind of just comes free. And it's not the same with everyone. But
does
like,
it?
Yeah. Oh. So to fully, like, retract back, like, roll back the foreskin all the way off the head of the penis, it's actually fused on there when you're young. And so for circumcision, they actually have to like scrape it off. It's like it's a whole thing. I've got an episode about that. Okay. It's really quite
maybe
brutal.
I should listen and get to know.
Yeah, it's so horrifying actually. And so, you know, like if you haven't been taught any of that, why would you know? I mean, you'd probably figure it out, but maybe not. If you just, because also there's all this shame around genitals and touching genitals, so maybe they're just trying to, like, I don't know about with men, but I know for women often clients will tell me that, like, they really don't want to interact with their vulvas at all if they can help it. They, like, wipe after they wee, they, like, give it a quick clean in the shower, but they've never looked at it, they've never really explored it. There's a lot of kind of shame around that. So, yeah, I think, like, you might not even know you have a smelly dick.
Yeah,
so in that case, like, if you're in a relationship with someone and you're noticing there's a bit of a hygiene thing going on, like, do you, like, have a sexy shower with them and, like, soap them up and just try to, like, get the schmegma out of there?
I can give you my previous experience from this.
Perfect.
And I'm an honest person. I don't care. And I say be honest with me too. He had not a very nice smelling one.
Mm-hmm.
Foreskin.
Mm-hmm.
Are we on?
Double check. I was
just
like,
double check.
Imagine
we're on.
If I didn't press record.
Redo all that again. Fuck.
Fuck that.
Fuck my life.
Go.
And then
it was
just
always just not really.
Yeah, and I just said, give it. I'm washing. Here's what I'm being nice. I was friendly, laughing. Like, you know, we were so close like that. We could just say that shit.
Yeah.
I said, can you clean it? Smell. Sweaty smell. Work smell. It's from work. It's from all your running around, all your sports. And it probably was, but also the underlying issue was
not
cleaning it properly. Yes. I said, do it like this. Let me clean it. Let me dry it. And he was loving it. He wasn't hating it because he could have touched his dick.
Great.
So like, two in one.
Dude.
So really, I'm benefiting, but so is he. So he probably got it. Root after it, so you know, because it made me horny. So I, was like, oh.
cleaning away the dick juice made you horny.
Oh, I'm so horny. I just crave that all the time,
dude. So how's this? I have an ex. He's actually been on the podcast a couple of times.
Yeah.
They're really good mates. We did a whole TMI episode together, which was the most raw dog content on the internet, I reckon.
Good,
and then we did another episode called I'm Straight and I Sucked a Dick, because he's super straight, but he just always wanted to, like, give it a go. Just be like, I'm curious. He's like, I think I'd be good at it. Sucked a dick. It was a big thing. He told me all about it on the podcast. Good episode. Anyway, he wouldn't mind me saying this. His last name's Sabatini, and he's got two brothers. They're the Sabatini brothers.
Yeah.
They had a technique they called the Sabatini, or maybe I coined it, because when I found out, I was like, this is the most fascinating thing ever, because I noticed him doing it. When he's, like, camping or at a festival, sometimes even just in the shower, like, you know, he pinches the end of his foreskin closed and, like, does a wee and lets the wee balloon up under the foreskin to, like, flush around the ridge. Yeah, the corona, which, and, like, kind of flush, because... Obviously, then you can clean your dick properly in the shower. But if you're, like, out camping or you're... And, like, piss is sterile. Obviously, pissy dick, not great either. But it, like... He's like, I don't know if it works. But it just, like, we all do it. We call it the Sabatini pinch and release.
That is fucking awesome.
And they just pinch and release, bit of piss around their dick, just flush out whatever.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah.
Ever.
No, well, me neither. But then I've seen someone else do it. Yeah. And I'm like, oh... Is this just a thing that guys do that I didn't know about?
Like, it's one of those things that we can, like, expose the guys on, like, guys' deepest secrets. Like, what do you actually do? And it's like, we just piss in our foreskin to clean the junk. Like,
and it's like, there'd be stuff around periods and just vaginas and vulvas that, like, guys don't know about until they're in a relationship, like a long-term relationship, and they start. And potentially, I mean, hopefully that's also fascinating to them sometimes because of conditioning and shame. It's gross and weird to them, and they don't want to know about our bodily functions, but, you know, generally if they're on board, it's like, cool. And I feel like that's something that I've, like, relished, like, having relationships with men, is just finding out all this stuff about like their junk that we would have no way of knowing. Little tricks and techniques that they just do, or things they have to keep in mind and be kind of aware of, because, like, having balls as well.
Yeah, right.
Mate.
Like, fuck, there's so much actually going on down there.
So, yeah, nice. It's super interesting. Yeah. I've got a couple of questions in here about that sort of stuff, because I'm like, we should all just be talking about this.
Absolutely, I think so too. You can take a photo.
fuck, all right, great. Well, did I just ask you one question so far?
I think
far?
That was one.
Wow, that was a good
that was
tangent.
A good, nice one.
Let's find another one for you.
You can go as intense as you'd like.
Yeah, all right.
Excuse this quick interruption. I'm shamelessly seeking reviews and 5-star ratings for the potty because, as I'm sure you've noticed by now, it's pretty fab, and the more people who get to hear it, the more people I can help with it. Reviews and ratings actually do make a big difference to this little independent podcaster, and it's really easy to just quickly show your support by taking that simple act of either leaving 5 stars for the show on Spotify, or even better, writing a written review and leaving 5 stars over on Apple Podcasts. Or if you're a real overachiever, you can do them both. That would be mad. If you're writing a review, though, just be sure to use G-rated words, because despite the fact that this is a podcast about sexuality, words like sex can be censored and your review won't make it through the gates. Lame. Anyway, I would personally recommend doing that right now while you remember, just to get on top of it and let me know you're with me on this journey. Thanks, gang. Enjoy the rest of the epi.
Well, since we're kind of on this
on the top.
Topic of on the top of bodily fluids and whatnot, do you like swallowing cum? Why?
Yeah.
Why not?
Yep. Ah, wait, I didn't even finish the answer. Oh, the question.
Love it. Love cum, cum, green,
so,
cum, green. Oh
my God. Pretty much, eh? I just think it's fun, and I know the boys like it, and it just makes you feel, like, good, like, when you do it, and they're like, oh, did you just, and you're like, yeah, of course I did.
Do you actually like the taste of it, though, or you just
okay,
in
the moment? Okay, so,
because if you weren't horny, would you actually get around some
cum? Well, yeah.
I would.
Sweet.
I would.
Fuck yeah.
Why not?
Like, good. I'm a bit squeamish, like, but, you know.
That's totally fine. And it's not for everyone. It does, it does taste, like, off egg whites, but, like, I don't know. Like, okay, I've been with a few partners, and, like, it's just tasted like shit, but then a few people I've been with, it just tastes, like, great. Not nectar. Great, nectar. But just, yeah. Is it
sex
is that,
nectar.
Is that what, it tastes like, I don't know, but it just tastes, like, fresh. It's just, like, not that eggy, like, yeah. Kind of, like, taste
healthy
or
lifestyle.
Smell.
Live clean.
Yeah. Well, this guy was actually, like, jacked up on roids and, drugs every week.
But he probably
so,
sweated out all of his toxins in the gym, being a shred lord.
You know what,
and then his cum's got, like, nothing in it, basically.
He's literally got nothing holding him in. It was, like, fucking
also,
just, it
roids
was just pissed,
shrink
like,
your testicles, so maybe he just had, like, less cum.
Maybe.
And that's, do not quote me on that. That's not science.
Well,
that's
yeah. Who even knows what's true, right? But, yeah, I would cop. All the
hot loads.
Hot loads. Yeah. Why not? I don't know. It's just fun. It's like, if they do something that they don't necessarily like, but then I'm like, oh, I reckon it's so good, and they do it, then I'm like, you're a sitcom.
What a champ.
Like, champ. Lord.
Taking it for the champ.
Yeah,
somewhere. Yeah. Yeah, and there is that thing about, like, if someone likes something and they're really turned on by it, then that's also turned on
yeah,
to you.
Exactly,
and,
yeah, exactly. Like, they're turned on, and then I'm like, fuck,
yeah.
That's hot.
Yeah.
Then it's just better. That's the chemistry. That's what chemistry is. Chemistry isn't just, like, one person liking the other thing and the other person not. It's, like, both of you just in it, liking it.
Yeah,
you know
you're
what
not
I mean?
Wrong.
Yeah, I totally know.
You know what I mean?
I could just be talking shit out my ass right now, but I don't even know.
No, it's all on the money, girl. You know you're good. You know this shit's gold. Like, I fully agree with all that. I think it's like, yeah, these are my favourite kinds of conversations. And it's just sad that, like, I mean, in me, like, 8 years ago,
mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God. No, would never have a conversation like this. Hadn't even sucked a dick.
Oh,
terrified
really?
Of dick. Yuck, yuck, yuck.
Yeah.
Grossed out by my own body. Mm-hmm. Literally. First time I tried to masturbate, I wrapped my fingers in Glad wrap because I was grossed out to touch my pussy.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
That's why I do this stuff now.
And that's good because then you're probably helping other people out there too.
Well, that's the idea.
Exactly.
I mean,
right.
You're fine. Yeah. You're already all
over
it.
Oh, but yeah, there's always bits and parts that can contribute,
students,
you know.
So the same guy, Max, who sucked the dick that I was just talking about, in our TMI episode, he talks about how he eats his own cum. And he's like, well, I don't want to expect someone to, you know, cop a load in their mouth if I'm not prepared to do that. And, like,
wow.
I mean, it's a whole thing. There's all these other reasons, and it's become this, like, whole thing that he
talks
about.
I mean, true,
about,
right? Like, so true.
Yeah.
But, like...
Do you taste your own pussy juice?
No.
Have you?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know
why. Not?
Why. Oh, well, if, like, they're down on me and then come hook up with me, yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't, like masturbated and then, like, no, I haven't.
Yeah.
I haven't done that.
You should.
I should.
Mm.
I mean,
that was an
might
edge.
As well.
That was definitely an edge for me, like, at one point. But also, like, a lot of my friends, a lot of people I know, like, it's a way to kind of check up on your pH and how things are going down there.
True.
And, like, your taste changes throughout the month and then, like, you know, it's kind of lemony if the acidic balance is right.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think it's, like, something I've got friends that really enjoy doing that as, like, a barometer for their vaginal health and staying
Maybe
connected to
now.
Themselves.
So this is why I come
go.
To you because I
go.
Learn.
There you go.
I learn things, right? Smart. Okay. Well, I'll keep you updated on that one.
Yeah, thanks.
So good. Oh, my God, what the fuck? I don't know why I've never thought of that. It's probably, like, the most basic thing you could do as well.
No,
like,
I don't think many people... I don't think it's
Yeah, but
common.
It's, like, the easiest thing to do.
It's
just, like, this.
Yeah, but, like, I hadn't even touched myself for pleasure or, like, interacted with my vulva until I was, like, 20.
Yeah.
You know?
Which is
So
fair.
I think, like, people are up against a lot of conditioning, a lot of shame, a lot of, like, don't go down there, that's dirty, that's a sin, that's fucking, you know, people with religious upbringings or just the cultural, like... conditioning and shame, it's like I kind of see why some people have never explored, never looked in the mirror, and like, you
true.
Know.
True. Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah. How are you feeling? Do you want one more? You're done?
Let's do one more.
All right. Let's find out what I got
here
in
for.
Here. What are things people have said to you during sex that you've liked because it was either hot, funny, or just made you feel comfortable?
So things I've liked.
Yeah.
And not liked or liked?
I think we'll go with liked,
both.
But you're welcome to roll into not liked. That's another question in here. But
okay.
Yeah, like things that people have said or done during sex.
Yeah.
That's been really helpful or like that you've been like, yeah, that's hot or like, oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
I love when it turns into like a funny moment for a minute, and like you both like fuck up something, like you when you go to like move into a different position and like you both fuck up, and it just like gets like that awkward stage, and I'm not awkward, so yeah, I just like turn it funny, and like hopefully the other person like reciprocates that, like laughs at it too, and they all have as well, which is funny. And I'm just like, oh yeah, nice one, and they're just like fuck, and I'm like, oh, just shut the fuck up, like just fuck
it
me
happened.
And they're just like, yeah, we'll fuck you, like, you know, just that shit. I'm like aggro sex, like I like it hard and crazy,
yeah,
soft shit, like it's fun. It's fun when it's like a lover loving connection, but when you're just fucking, just fuck me, like I don't know, like do whatever the fuck. So I don't know when they say like, oh, you know, I normally like people don't know maybe how to approach me. Mm-hmm. They're not like, oh, should I do this or should I? I'm just like, put your hands around my neck, and they're like, oh, you want me to do that? I'm like, yeah, do it. And they hold up, I'm like, harder. And they're like, oh, you like that? I'm like, fucking harder. Like, just the reciprocating, probably communication is probably like the biggest turn on for me.
Yeah.
Is like when they know what I'm telling them to do and they do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, like compliments during it, probably like, fuck, keep going. Like, it's good. Like, keep going. Like, you know, you learnt the Gluck 9000 pretty soon. Do you know that
What's
one?
What's the Gluck 9000?
No! Sex expert doesn't know about the Gluck.
Gluck Gluck!
Do you know about the Gluck Gluck?
Have you heard of the Gluck Gluck? Gluck Is this your friend?
No.
Oh, come on in. We've got a new contributor.
See how beautiful this place is.
Thank you.
Good on you.
Wow, I can't believe you don't know about the Gluck Gluck.
Okay, is this a porn thing though? Because like I don't watch porn, so I feel like and I'm like a bit old. How old are you?
Guess.
I mean, you're wise beyond your years, I'm guessing. You look like 22, but you talk like you're 30.
I'm 21.
Man. Yes. Man, kids these days.
Kids
cannot
days.
Say it enough. I've been having all these insane conversations with these ascended fucking 20-year-olds. Okay, so I think it's an age gap thing. Gluck Gluck, have you heard of this?
No. Gluck Gluck 9000.
No. All right.
So there's the 3000. Yeah, so there's the 3000, the 6000, and the 9000.
Oh, no.
So the Gluck Gluck. So you've probably done it, or maybe not. I don't know what you guys' sexual history is like.
Yeah, let's see.
But what is you just shove their dick so far in your throat and you're almost vomiting.
Yep.
Like, you know, some people have gags, some don't. Mm-hmm. Just get it to the stage where you're like, and there's just so much like just juicy shit coming from your mouth. You spit it on there, you spit in both your hands, you rub it together so it's nice and warm, and you grab the dick, and then you just go up and down with your hands and your mouth, and you just like hard pressure, just quick as fuck, and you just look at them and you just like do whatever the fuck you want to it. And it's just like fast. It's like tornado, cyclone, extra
What's
spit.
What's the 6,000, 3,000?
So, 9,000? Just different levels of it. So, like the 3,000 could be like a one hand with like not too much spit, but still going. 6,000 is probably like two hands and a little bit.
Dude,
like
where
just
did you
going.
Get this?
Well, I just thought it was a thing.
But where did you hear the term the first time?
Probably, like, I don't know if it was my friends or the Call Me Daddy podcast.
Okay.
Maybe that one. I can't remember where I initially got it from, but it kind of like went around for a little bit. It's like, oh yeah, the Gluck Gluck. Like, I don't know. So the Gluck Gluck 9000 is just.
Oh my, okay. Well, I think like I've done that without intentionally doing the Gluck Gluck.
Yeah.
Maybe not the furiousness.
Furiosity.
Intensity, furiousness. But yeah, but also like that gag reflex, like the deep throat vibes where you get the really viscous, it's almost like it's not regular saliva. Mm. Yeah, that's like people have throat gasms and ejaculate from the throat from doing that, and it's like stimulating
like
the vagus nerve.
It does give you like, it does give you that euphoria that you need at that time.
Yeah,
it puts you in the...
And so one of the reasons why this is me putting my sex educator hat on, is because that deep throat stimulation and triggering the gag reflex, along with things like humming and toning, a couple of other things, it tones and activates the vagus nerve, which runs all the way down through your nervous system, through the heart, to the uterus, so your cervix. So, which is like where you can have some fuck off orgasms from. So, like the whole throat connection with the pelvic floor, and then the nervous system, which is so very influential in female arousal and us being really turned on and having orgasms. That's why you can get that feeling from deep throating.
Interesting.
Gluck, gluck.
It's
and
like a natural, like, instinct in us that we need.
Yeah, and, you know, it's not for everyone. That's also fine. Like, you don't need to be fucking deep-throating someone to, like, get there. There's other ways. But, yeah, that's interesting that, like, you know, people talk about that. And then I'm like, yeah, there's a reason behind that, actually.
Mm. Some of them love it. Some of them might not like it. So you just figure it out. Mm-hmm. I don't ask questions. I just do what I want. And if they don't want it, like, you know, in a good way, not like a crazy non-consensual way, I'll just do my shit. And if they're not liking it, I'll easily tell. Yeah. I'll switch it up. You don't just gluck for, you know, fucking 20 minutes straight up. You start slow, see what they like, and if they start loving it even more, you keep going. And then you reach 9,000. And if they haven't come by then you fucking keep going.
Oh, my God. Well, all right, well, that...
I'm definitely taking something.
That leads me to... oh, my God, it's almost just gone out of my head. What was I about to say? That reminded me of another question... Fuck!
Oh, no,
there's too much pressure. Oh, yep. All right. So, you were saying, oh, like if they're into it. If they're not, I can tell really quickly.
Yeah.
What if someone, like, do you think? Because obviously, a lot of women fake orgasms, and men are like often can't tell.
Yeah.
But I feel like we are a little bit more intuitive. It's harder to fake it if a guy's not into it. Like, how would you feel if someone faked an orgasm with you? And, like, do you or have you faked orgasms with other people? And I'll start with you and then I'll go with you.
Nice. I have never faked an orgasm and I never will.
Nice.
If I'm not liking it, I'll let them know and I'll tell them what I want to make it happen. It's not hard for me to with the right person, I guess. I don't know. I've just always have. So it's, like, never... That part's never really been an issue. But if they were to fake one with me, I would just be honest and say... You don't have to fake shit with me. Tell me what you want, and I'll do whatever the fuck you want. I'm open. I'll let you do anything. So, like, you know, I don't really give a fuck, do I? Can you put this up here or on the podcast? Is that sweet?
Are you kidding me?
Yes. Sweet. But yeah, you just if they did it to me, it'd feel pretty shit. Like, you know, I don't think anyone has. I hope not. Normally, it's like either on my face or in me, so I know that they've done it. But straight up, I'm just honest, guys. But yeah, I just talk to them and just be like, yeah, just tell me what you want and I'll do it. So tell me what feels good for you, or if I haven't already read their minds and, you know, done it, then it'd feel pretty shit.
Yeah.
So that's why I would never do that to someone.
Hey, me again. If you'd like to support the potty and you've already given it 5 stars on whatever platform you're listening on, I want to mention that you can buy some really dope merch from the website and get yourself a Labia Lounge tote, tee, togs. Yep, you heard that right. I even have Labia Lounge bathers. Or a cute fanny pack if that'd blow your hair back. So if fashion isn't your passion, though, you can donate to my Buy Me a Coffee donation page, which is actually called Buy Me a Soy Chai Latte, because I'll be the first to admit, I'm a bit of a Melbourne cafe tosser like that. And yes, that is my coffee order. You can do a once-off donation or an ongoing membership and sponsor me for as little as 3 fat ones a month. And I also offer one-on-one coaching and online courses that'll help you level up your sex life and relationship with yourself and others in a really big way. So every bit helps, because it ain't cheap to put out a sweet podcast into the world every week out of my own pocket. So I will be undyingly grateful if you support me and my biz financially in any of these ways. And if you like, I'll even give you a mental BJ with my mind from the lounge itself. Saucy. I'll pop the links in the show notes. Thank you. Later.
Yeah, so for me, it was... like, I wouldn't fake it. I would just stop before faking it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why should I fake it? Like, it's not good. It's not good. Get off me. You know what I mean?
I feel like I understand why people do fake it, though, because there's so much pressure on orgasm, and then it often just finishes this situation quicker because, you know, but it's coming from a place of people-pleasing and, you know, trying to, like, not make someone feel insecure.
Yeah,
you
exactly,
know.
But you're just not feeling it.
Yeah, and I think
they're
just...
They're not feeling it either.
Exactly right, yeah. And if you're both not
it's like a massage, right? You know when people massage you and they know where they're...
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's that connection.
Mm. Some people are really awkward and struggle a bit with, like, intimacy and touch and things like this, though. Like, I feel like we all want that confidence and whatever, but then I'm like, oh, what about the people that, you know, have anxiety or, you know, feel a lot of pressure to perform and worry about, you know, like a lot of guys will struggle to keep an erection because they're so like anxious. And I think it's really important that, yeah, just as lovers in general, we're kind of like, because I've never faked an orgasm and I didn't know that was a thing. And then the more people I speak to, the more like, it's actually, this is wild that I got two people randomly sitting here that haven't faked orgasms, because pretty much every single woman you ask has faked an orgasm or still does regularly. And they've all got their own reasons, which are really valid. And it's just, it's a lack of communication and it's a lack of being able to be, I guess, you know, assertive enough of your own needs and boundaries, and then gentle and loving in the way you deliver that, like, to someone, and try to like coax them into, yeah, just educate them a little bit.
But just like not being like themselves either. It's like, you know, you're just faking like what's going on and like who you are and like things like that. You just, not necessarily, but you know, if you're not feeling it, say no. Exactly. Or, you know, try something else, whatever you feel comfortable with, but don't fake orgasm, ladies.
Yeah,
come on.
It does everyone a disservice.
The lead knows if you're fake orgasming or not.
I feel like a lot of guys don't know.
No?
Yeah. Nah, a lot of guys don't know. And we're good, like, women are good at faking it. And it's not as obvious because there's no, like, ejaculation or whatever. And all of our erectile tissue is internal inside our vagina. So you can't tell if we've got a hard on or not. Whereas you can tell if he does quite
like
easily.
Like, a full orgasm, fake it and just go, ah, ah. Like,
yeah, orgasm. A lot of people do that. Heaps of people do that.
There's no problem if you don't orgasm every time.
I know, but like, there's so much, I think a lot of, especially men, will like feel as though, like, you know, they need to provide you with this orgasm to feel good in themselves, in their masculinity. I mean, some just don't give a fuck about your pleasure and that's not great, but ultimately I think they want you enjoy yourself and they want, like, and then the, you know, they're like, oh, come for me, but like, I want to make you come, I want to give you pleasure, and the woman's like, oh fuck, it's just not going to happen, there's too much pressure, I'm in my head now. He's not, you know, able to take feedback because then he gets insecure and in his head, and then it stops working and it's awkward. Like, there's a lot of reasons that people are just like, it's easier to just fake it. And then the sex is done and then cool, cool, cool. I don't hurt his feelings. I don't agree with it. I don't do it myself. I've just been like, why the fuck would I fake it? But no, absolutely not. I'm not saying faking orgasm. I think no one should do that. But I understand why people do. Yeah. And in some situations, it's kind of the best option we've 100%. Got available to us. So, like, yeah, I just think it's an interesting thing to talk to people about, because there's a lot of people still out there faking it, and for pretty good reasons. But I think, yeah, if we can just, like, try to, like, phase that out, everybody.
Yeah.
Because also, like, men need to get better at handling feedback and taking guidance without being, like, shitty about it.
Absolutely.
Well, all of us do. All of us need to.
It should come from love anyways. It's not like a hate thing. It's not like, you know, if you just had that sex with that person that one time, it's like they don't know anything about you. They don't know what you like.
How
they don't
are they
know
expected
what
to know?
Exactly.
Yeah. We're all beginners. And everyone's feeling like they've, like, especially men have a lot of pressure on them to feel like they're king dicks in the bedroom and, like, know all the moves and can, like, make you come. But, like, honestly, how are they to know? They watch porn and that's all they get it from.
Exactly.
And then, of course, every fucking woman, every vulva is different. Everyone, you know.
Yeah.
So I think it always comes back to, like, communication and, like, having confidence, because people are awkward talking about sex. And I think a lot of people are like, oh, it's easier to just go along with something and, you know. So anyway, that's my rant.
Yes.
Thanks so much.
Yes.
This was a great chat. Okay, what an absolute cracker. Loved that chick. Wow. All right, well, that's it for today. That's part one. There's a bunch more in store. Tune in next week for another episode full of really great stories and convos with the people of Esso. If you have a story for me, if you had an answer to one of the questions I asked that you want to contribute some thoughts to, please send it in, text me, email me, send me a voicey. Yeah, I'm all about generating these kind of conversations out in the world as well. So get around it and I'll see you next week. And that's it, darling hearts.
thank you for stopping by the Labia Lounge. Your bum groove in the couch will be right where you left it, just waiting for you to sink back in for some more double L action next time. And in the meantime, if you'd be a dear and subscribe, share this episode, or leave a review on iTunes, then you can pat yourself on the snatch, because that, my dear, is a downright act of sex-positive feminist activism. And you'd be supporting my vision to educate, empower, demystify, and destigmatize with this here podcast. Also, I'm always open to feedback, topic ideas that you'd love to hear covered, or guest suggestions. So feel free to get in touch via my website at freyagraph.com or say hey over on Insta. My handle is freya_graph_ymt, and I seriously hope you're following me on there, because damn, we have fun. We have fun. Anyway, later, labial legends. I'll see you next time.